TR, coming up now, Radio Pizza Party. Stay tuned.
All right, hey, welcome to Radio Pizza Party. We're here with comedian Chris Gethard, who's going to be in town May 29th as part of his Beautiful Anywhere tour.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's great to have you on the show, man.
Thanks so much. I think it's actually May 30th, if I'm correct.
Oh, uh-oh, Jack.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that was my research. Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, just wanted to say it's kind of weird because I'm used to listening to you calling in on people and talk, or I guess people calling into you. So this is like, I feel like I'm on the podcast in a way.
Look at that. Yeah, the role reversal. We're messing with everybody's heads right now.
How the tables have turned.
The tables have turned. So we have our first question here.
If you could describe your comedy career using one Smith song, which song would it be and why?
Wow, that's a great question. There's many layers to that. I'm cycling through this one. I might have to go with You Just Haven't Earned It Yet, Baby.
Oh.
I think that sums up most of my career. I think, like, the large majority of my career was mostly me just banging my head against the wall. And just the past year or so, I'm starting to actually get some things going, which is a really nice change of pace, I got to tell you. I much prefer it this way. But historically, I think that song is probably a good fit.
That's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. So we have a question about the Chris Gethard show, which we are both fans of.
Thanks.
Hey, anytime. How do you balance the insanity of the show with the kind of some emotional vulnerability, everyone, you know, that core?
I think they kind of go hand in hand in a way. Like, I think at the end of the day, what I'm going for with both of them is kind of like honesty and authenticity. Like, I think they both try to be honest. Like, with the insanity of the show, like, I remember we had an episode early in our public access run where a kickboxer was just, like, beating me as part of this game we were playing. And it's like, anybody watching it knew, like, oh, that's real. Like, he's in real pain. This is not staged. There was no segment producer that did a bunch of pre-interviews to make this happen, like on the Real Talk show. It's like, this is like an actual trained kickboxer beating up the host, and it's going poorly, like going more poorly. I think when you watch that episode, anyone would be like, oh, that hurts 100 times worse than he thought. This is weird. But at the end of the day, it's like super honest, you know? It's like, I just want to do stuff that feels really real, rings true, and I think sometimes we go in that direction. And then I think that way when we get emotional, get vulnerable, I think people understand that that's real too. That's honest. Like, there's nothing worse than people trying to like engineer, you know, moments of profound thoughtfulness, you know? So I think our show at the end of the day, all of it aims to be real and they kind of go hand in hand, you know, like as long as it's honest, I don't care what it is.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, that's a great answer. speaking of authenticity, what do you think aliens look like?
I mean, I thought about this one a lot. You think aliens look like? I mean, I think they probably look like you. I think they probably walk among us.
Ooh.
They're probably here already, right? Like, I was just reading something where another thing where somebody was writing like if we really think that the universe is infinite and has existed for all of time and will be eternal. It's really arrogant to think we're the only ones. I bet they're looking us in the eye. I bet they're the ones selling you your coffee in the morning. You know, I bet they're among us. It's that type of thing. And they're just waiting for their moment to strike and we all better be ready, man.
Can you think of anyone in particular that might be an alien?
Wow. Great question. Can I think of anyone in my life who might be an alien? Let's see. Well, I tell you, I live in New York City. I ride the subway a lot, and you often see people's behavior there where you're like, that's not human. That's not humanity. So maybe they're actually from other worlds. because it gets grim. It gets grim fast on the New York public transit system.
Oh, I can only imagine.
There's a woman on the bus in Vancouver who rides with a buggy with a duck in it all the time. Everybody in Vancouver knows her. She's the duck lady. So we have a very, like, low-key.
I got to meet the duck lady when
I'm in town. Absolutely. Hopefully she'll come to the show. So we're both, like, geeks when it comes to radio and podcasts and stuff. I think that's might be obvious.
Yeah, I can admit it.
We can admit it. But we want to ask, what was it like to even be featured on This American Life?
It's really intimidating, actually. It's weird because everybody there is so nice. But it's one of those things where, like Ira Glass asked me if he could give me notes on my story. And I almost felt like it was a setup. Like, I was really confused. I was like, yeah, like, you're Ira Glass, of course. Yeah, of course. Like, you can give anybody notes on a story at this point, man. I'll tell you, here's a hot scoop. Here's something that I was surprised by, is their office not particularly nice.
Oh,
a regular office.
Really? I always thought it would be like an Apple store. Like, it would be everybody with their own little microphones.
Me too. I thought it was going to be like really like everybody drinking Fiji water and, you know, like real expensive stuff. Just a regular office, like regular haphazard office, just like any other media venture. I was shocked. Shocked.
I guess it is public radio. There's not much public radio money anymore.
Yeah, it's a public radio level office. It's not a bad office,
okay,
but it's not what you think. Not what you think it's going to be. It's not like the elevator door opens and there's like a bubbling fountain and soothing tones. It's just, you know, there's like stacks of files all around. It's just like any other office. I was shocked by that.
I'm wondering if there's a relation to the averageness of the office to the amazingness of the programming.
Yeah, like when you go into a restaurant and the grosser the restaurant is, the better the food is.
I think they're working on that equation over there for sure.
Absolutely. So we want to ask maybe about the podcast, which you are actually going to be recording an ep in Vancouver, if that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We just wanted to ask about how do you, as the host, and also, I mean, you are the only person who people know who they are because the callers are anonymous, deal with any sort of controversy generated by callers? Like, one that's notable is the one with the teacher, which was like, everyone was just on their edge of that episode. I know I was, like, puckered.
Yeah, it can get weird, man. That's the short answer. You know, the good thing is we always put out a new one, so the controversy generally doesn't last longer than a week. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the next one will drop, and then people have something new to get mad at me about. So that's the silver lining of that. But that one that you're referencing in particular, a girl talked about how she used to make out with her teacher when she was in high school, and people online were like, this is nuts. And then started to see other people come out of the woodwork and go like, I did that too, and I'm actually fine. Like, it wasn't cool, but I'm psychologically fine. And I was like, oh, how did I become the center point for this? Like, I swear, when I signed up to do this, I really intended it to be comedy, but it's taken on this weird sense of reality that I didn't anticipate. And it's not, you know, it's not always the most fun to be in the center of that of that storm, but it's pretty rad. It's like playing the lottery too, you know. It's like I tweet out the phone number, and every time I do, we get about 5,000 call attempts.
Wow.
So it's like, I never know. Like, yeah, it's like, you know, like we had one episode, just some guy talking about poop stories, and then you get something like that with the teacher where you're like, oh, this is one of the more disturbing things anybody's ever told me in their own words. It's nice, and we all get to do that together live in the theater now see which way it goes.
Yeah, that's crazy that I didn't know that many people called in. I mean, I've definitely contributed once or twice to that 5,000, but maybe one day. Well, you're on here, so that's okay.
I think it's incredible that people are willing to tell that story for an audience of at least 5,000, judging by the colors. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty bonkers. It's like, it turns out, like, you tell somebody they can stay anonymous and people will tell you anything. Like, there's a lot of people out there sitting on secrets, and it's a pretty nice thing in my life that they've come to view me as the guy who they can publicly air their secrets to.
Totally.
Yeah. Anonymity, but you also get places like 4chan through like the veil of anonymity. So it's a double-sided coin.
Yeah, I think this venue, I think this platform is like a little more laid back than that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I would think so. I would hope so. Absolutely.
So what would you say makes your show Career Suicide like more of a one-man show rather than a typical comedy special like your My Comedy album?
I would say that's, you know, the vast stretches of uncomfortable silence and the large focus on my struggles with mental health issues over the years definitely separated it from a comedy special. And that's the simple answer. I was really trying to make it feel like stand-up and push it hard, and Judd Apatow came on as a producer, and right away he was like, pump the brakes on that, man, because you're talking about like the side effects of medication. You're talking about suicidal thoughts. Like, this is not stand-up comedy. Let it be what it wants to be. And I had to kind of begrudgingly accept that I was now doing a one-man show.
Well, it worked out, obviously, because... You're at least in Vancouver.
You made it to the big time, all the way up to Vancouver.
Oh yeah, the Biltmore, baby. That's what I got into this for. But it's one of those things where it's like, oh, turns out you should probably trust Judd Apatow's instincts on these things. Yeah,
I heard he's an expert. I haven't seen evidence myself.
He's had one or two tiny TV shows along the years. Something. Yeah.
I don't even know.
Pretty good instinct, it turns out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we are university students, so sometimes we can't afford to go to comedy shows. But for those who can, what's one major why should people come? Like, why do people come to your show on May 30th, not 29th, like we mistakenly said?
Oh, that's totally fine. All of these things happen. I think I think we'll have a really good time, an interesting time. And the one thing I always try to commit to with any type of show I'm doing is like, it's going to be an experience. We're all in it together. I don't know how it's going to end. Like, I'm going to do a bunch of stand up. I'm bringing my friend Joe Romero, who's a hilarious stand up. Like, we'll have a good time. And then at one point, we will all tweet out a phone number together, and 5,000 calls will come in, and we might all sit there and hear the funniest thing in the world. We might all hear a grim thing together, but we're going to be in it together, and it's going to be an experience. It only happens one night. And the way I keep thinking of it is I'm like, I think it'll be a good show because either we'll get a great phone call that'll be very entertaining, we'll all be able to sit back and just soak that in as it comes, roll with the punches, or it'll be kind of nuts, and you'll have the fun experience of watching me just squirm on stage and try to make it work, and it'll be a disaster. I always say, like, my shows, I always plan them where I don't know how they're going to end, and that might be a disaster, but my commitment to the audience is it will be a very watchable disaster.
It's like jazz. It's like a jazz podcast.
Oh. I don't often get that comparison, but I'm very flattered.
Absolutely. On our show, we like to do first of all, how are you with impressions?
Terrible, but I'm happy to give it a shot.
That's okay.
That's even better.
We are horrible. So we play a little game called Impressions, if you're okay with playing that.
Absolutely.
So our first impression, if you want, me and Jack can maybe do one to maybe kind of make the waters feel a little, you know, test them out for you.
Okay.
Our first one is Sylvester Stallone. I'll try my best right now, all right? Here we go.
He's getting into character.
Yo, Adrian. It's Jesus. I'm going to fight you. All right, Chris.
You,
take it away.
You nailed that.
Well, thank you so much. It means a lot to hear.
No, I do Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay. My name is Rambo. And
nice.
Shoot you with my gun.
I liked it. That was awesome.
That was beautiful. Okay, I'll give mine a shot. What? Okay. They drew first blood. That's the best I can do.
Absolutely.
All right, and our next one, we're going to do Obama, and I'll start us off with this one. My fellow Americans, we have to pass Obamacare. Hope for change. That's what I got.
All right, Chris.
I'm not going to beat that. I thought that was pretty good.
Wow.
Did you actually think it was Obama? Because he's in the studio right now. That was him.
Wow. I can't believe you guys are not letting him talk and letting me talk this much.
No, he's here just for this. Yeah, yeah. He only had 15 seconds.
Weird.
It was weird. Okay. He's a prisoner.
I'll give it my shot.
Okay, awesome.
Let's see. Happy to say that my two daughters doing quite good. Get my administration wrapped up, and my wife Michelle still dancing, still moving. I don't know. I'm very.
Oh no, that was good.
That was pretty good.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks so much for doing
it.
It was awesome talking to you.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I just watched Don't Think Twice last night, and I loved it. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks. Yeah. This is a fun one. It's nice to have one that's not the same four questions. Thank you, guys.
That's good to hear. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Have a good one, Chris. Hope to see you at the show.
See ya.
You too. Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
See ya.
Make some noise for Tristan Wheeler and Jack Lamming. CIT on CITR Radio Pizza Party. What do you do? Make it louder. Make it louder. Woo! Let's start the show.
Hey, welcome everyone to CITR 101.9, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia. This is Radio Pizza Party with Tristan, not Tristan, and Jack. Tristan's off this week. He's going to some hip concert somewhere with his loving girlfriend or some other BS. But I'm here with Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi.
I'm here for the special episode.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. I was roped into this. I did not sign up. But it was kind of hard to get another person, so here I am.
Here we are. And Ben, what's the idea of this show? What do we do?
We pick a topic out of the hat, and then we chat about that topic and have various games and whatnot to make fun of the guest.
Make fun of you.
Essentially, yeah. I don't know why I came back. This is the third time being on the show.
Oh, God, three times. We've only had like 9 episodes.
I know.
It's awful. We have a really shallow pool of friends to pull on the show.
I really do. I'm your number one fan and your number one contributor.
Yeah. Speaking of... guests and friends. Mm. What you people just heard was a interview me and Tristan did yesterday with comedian Chris Gethard. You know him from The Chris Gethard Show, if you watch that, or Don't Think Twice, which was a movie, and his show Beautiful Anonymous. He'll be in town on the 30th, so go see him. He won't be in town on the 29th, like I thought. He'll be in town on the 30th.
The 30th, that's the day to go watch him.
Yeah.
Or listen to him.
If you go on the 29th, he won't be there. I'm sure somebody will. It's at the Biltmore, I think.
I mean, you can camp out, but
he just won't be there.
Yeah, but maybe he'll camp out as well.
Do you think he does that before all of his shows?
Dude, I think so. I'd do that. You know, to kind of get a lay of the land. You know, make sure you're in your element before you start your show.
Not even in the venue. You just want to know what the outside of the venue looks like.
Oh yeah, because that's very important. You know,
is knowing what the outside of your venue looks like.
Oh yeah,
24 hours before your show. And for the, like, after 24 hours after that.
You will never be surprised. It's all good.
Okay.
Should we start?
Yeah, we should probably start. So, me and Ben have a rocky past. I think we both have scars from each other. Mm-hmm. We're best buds for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Longest 4 years of my life.
I know.
And, so I thought, why not bring him on? And I think we should pick a topic right now, because I think we've run out
why
of other stuff
on?
To talk
about. Why
bring me
on? No one else? But okay, anyways, let's
go. All right, let's pick a topic, and let's hear the theme song for Let's Pick a Topic.
Ooh.
Tristan, hey Jack, let's pick a topic.
All right, so, Ben, give me a number between 1 and 9, because I forgot a hat this week, and yeah, that's how life works now.
What's 14 divided by 2?
7. And 7 is celebrity culture.
Celebrity
we
culture.
We have a lot to talk about this 34 minutes. Let's get into it. So, who's your favorite celebrity?
My favorite celebrity?
Of all time.
Oh.
And you can't say Grace Kelly.
Can't say Grace Kelly?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I know, it's going to make it tough for you.
Wait, because that's the only celebrity I know?
Yeah.
Actually, I'll probably say my favorite celebrity is Russell Crowe, because I actually met him one time.
Can you, what, how did you meet him?
Yeah, I was on a chairlift in Whistler, and I was going up, and then I looked to my right, and I was like, hey, it's that dude from Gladiator. I was like 12 at the time. And I'm like, hey, are you Russell Crowe? Because I knew who he was, because that was my favorite movie at the time.
Yeah.
He's like, oi, I'm actually Russell Crowe. How's it going? I talk like this because he's from Australia. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And then that was it. And then I left. And I was
Wait, was the chairlift still going up and you just jumped off? You're like, I've peaked now.
Well,
see you later, Russell.
I mean, I had nothing else to say. And there's no way I'm having an awkward silence with Russell Crowe, my hero.
He just cut your head off. He was in Gladiator.
Yeah, exactly.
He was trained. There was all real swords in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen it, but I'm assuming somebody gets their head cut off.
I mean, I was entertained, you know, in everything.
Ayo. Those are lines from that movie.
That was shout out to Russell Crowe, if you're listening, which I'm
Russell
sure.
Russell Crowe, my Russell bro. I bet he's in town. He's performing the night before at the Biltmore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so he's probably camping there right now.
More than likely. That's what you would do.
Yeah,
No.
So he's performing on the 29th. So he camps out 3 days before.
Oh, extra courses. Okay, I see.
Yeah. It's a nightmare to schedule tour days for. It has to be 3 days, or actually four.
Did they actually book it out, like the whole venue, but like the 3 days beforehand as well?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's like how when U2 was in town, they booked out a month of BC Place.
Wow, that's expensive.
It's very, but they're U2. They made exactly. like $200 million off of their last free album.
Yeah.
It was insanity. Everybody hates them for it.
Well, yeah, you know. Okay, so how is, what's your favorite celebrity?
My favorite celebrity? Oh, man.
I know. It's kind of hard to think of it when you're on a spot, right?
You fill up some dead air. I'm going to just think for like 20 to 25 minutes.
You want me to fill up dead air for
yeah,
25
just,
minutes?
Just talk about stuff.
Well, I guess this is my third time being on this radio show, as we said earlier. The last time I was on for 15 minutes because I was late because traffic in North Van is
shut up,
bad.
Shut up. I'd probably say Rainn Wilson because I met him too.
Oh, Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, Rainn Wilson. People might know him as Dwight from The Office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is a man who looks like Rainn Wilson.
I was meant to be at that concert, by the way, Jack.
No, you weren't.
Yes.
You weren't
to Milk Hotel.
Meant to be at that
concert. I was meant
okay.
to be at that concert because
okay.
we'd been talking
so
about...
So before we come to blows, here's a little rundown for everybody of what happened. Me and Ben, one of our very early bonding moments was I showed you Neutral Milk Hotel, which mm-hmm. is this band who were around playing at tiny venues in the 90s, and then they broke up, and then they had this one album, In the Airplane Over the Sea, that got massive, and this is like the most student radio thing we could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Neutral Milk Hotel. And that blew up, and they'd been broken up for like 5 years, and then they stayed broken up for the next 10 years, and they ended up going on a tour in, I think, 2013?
Yeah, because I was when we were in high school.
Yeah, and I was at work at the time, and I finished work, and my friends texted me, hey, Julian, if you're listening to this, this was you. And he texted me, oh, my God, man, Neutral Milk Hotel tickets just went on sale. And I bought you a ticket. Pay me back when you come over. Like, come over after work. And I went to his house, and by the time I texted Ben about it, tickets were sold out. Julian did not know you liked Neutral Milk Hotel. Anyway, this concert was amazing. Best night of my life.
And
Ben,
then he met Rainn Wilson
Ben, you
that
completely
night.
Missed it. Yeah. And then afterwards, we're walking out, and this lady goes, how was your night? We're like, it was awesome. She's like, mine was better. I went to the concert, and I met Rainn Wilson. I was like, that's rude. Where is he? And she's like, there. And she points across the road to outside of Romano's Pizza, worst pizza in Vancouver. Ooh. And he was there, and we met him. And
were other people also talking with him, or was it just...
It was him and his friends, and then we came up. I was in grade 11, Julian was in grade 12, and we're like, hey, dude, can we get an autograph?
Okay, wait, okay, so I know that he doesn't sound exactly like he does on The Office, but how similar does he sound to how he acts on
The Office?
He
just has, like, a regular dude voice. Like, he's just a regular guy. He was super down-to-earth, super nice, and ever since then, I've had a shrine to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are our favorite celebrities. We're going to go to a quick new game called Trivia.
It's new. We just made it up.
quick game.
We're
going to
pursue it.
The way this game works, it's trivia with a twist. We have both made trivia games for each other. I'm going to go first,
okay.
And then Ben's going to go second.
Wait, one question.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go back and forth.
Yeah.
And if you get one of these questions wrong, you have to take a swig of hot sauce. And we'll do that in the break after this show.
Yeah.
Okay, Ben, I'm going to go first. Okay. We don't really have a theme song for this, so like...
Trivia, trivia, we're doing trivia on the radio!
Okay, question one for trivia. Ben, Number one, which famous the theme is bends through time.
Oh.
Which famous Ben signed the Declaration of Independence? Was it A, Ben Franklin? C, Ben They're Done That? C, Ben Hur?
Well, yeah, no, that's A. That's Benji Franklin. $100 bills, Ben.
I guess. Okay.
Okay, my question for you. How many pets does Vladimir Putin have? Is A, 4, B, 2, C, 1 small-handed president, or D, 7?
Oh, Lord. Oh, man, I'm behind on my Vlad facts. I'm going to say, oh, God, this is going to hurt. I'm going to say four.
Oh, wrong.
Oh,
it was two. He has two Labradors.
Two Labradors?
Yeah.
God, why does the Axis of Evil have to love dogs? Okay, number two. Which Ben was born on October 22nd, 1949 in the Middle East? Is it A, Benjamin Netanyahu? Is it B, Benjamin Shapiro? Or is it C, Farnsworth Bentley?
Well, I'm gonna assume it's the PM of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, BB.
BB? It was BB.
Oh, wow, I'm getting all these. Why did you put them all as A? Because now I know your pattern.
Oh, do you?
I guess so. Okay, which of the following is the hottest? A, a thermonuclear fireball. B, Beyonce. C, neutron star. Or D, a blue supergiant star.
Why do you know so many star facts?
Yeah, all space. That's
the
all
thing
is.
Is,
I'm a spacey dude.
I know how little you make sense. So it could be Beyonce.
Mm.
I could die here. Oh, God, why did I bring habanero hot sauce? So I'm going to go with D.
D, a blue supergiant star which burns at 50,000 degrees Celsius is wrong. It's a thermonuclear bomb. And then second is Beyonce. She's burning
Jesus
in my heart.
Christ. Oh, God, this is going to hurt so much. Okay, number three. Which famous Benjamin was president of the United States? A, Benjamin Schwartz. B, Benjamin Hinckley Jr. Or C, Benjamin Harrison?
Hinckley Jr.
Wrong.
Oh.
Benjamin Harrison. Yes. Oh, thank God. This is going to suck so much. Why am I doing this to myself?
Okay, which of the following is the largest? A, a brontosaurus. B, a blue whale. C, an argentinosaurus. Or D, Donald Trump's web of lies.
Is an argentinosaurus a real thing?
Yeah.
Can I Google this? I'm going to Google this.
Yeah. It's spelled exactly how you think. Like, well, Argentino. If, like, Argentina was a dinosaur, imagine that. So it's very large beef exporting, you know. This is your daily Argentina fact for today. They export a lot of beef. That's their thing. Now, Jack, are you going to save me from
I'm
going to
guess. I'm going to help you from just spinning out here. I'm going to guess it's the Argentinosaurus.
Oh, that's wrong, actually. The largest animal to ever have lived is the blue whale.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. At 140,000 kilograms. That's how much they weigh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Number four. Which Benjamin won the silver medal in figure skating at the 2006 Olympics? A, Benjamin Agosto. C, Benjamin Affleck. C,
Benjamin Affleck? What?
C, Benjamin Cook. He has side jobs.
Oh, okay. I guess so. I don't actually know this one. I should know all my Bens. But I guess I'm going with a C.
Ha, it's A.
Oh.
Yes, I'm going to win one. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Which of the following is the loudest? A, the Krakatoa eruption of 1883. B, the Saturn V rocket at takeoff. C, 400 lions roaring at the same time. Or D, the voices in my head.
A.
No, this voice in my head, dude, obviously.
Okay, give me a real answer. It's A.
Well, yeah, it's
that
A.
That was the loudest noise ever. Okay, so...
But you don't know for sure, man. The voice of it are real loud.
Okay, so what was the final tally? I got you for two.
Oh, I still got one more. If you can still handle
okay.
Handle the heat. Cause
I currently have three. I'm pretty sure I've lost three.
Yeah, I think you've lost three. Because, yeah.
How hard is this last question?
Insanely hard.
Like
you're guessing.
Okay, I'm going to opt out. Can I look at this question?
Yeah, sure. It's number four.
Number four? Oh, good Lord. Are you serious? Okay. Which of the following exoplanets is closest to Earth? A, Gliese 682B. B.
Dude, these are common facts. Everyone knows
HC this. HC 219134B. Or C, TRAPPIST 1H, 39.5 light years. Or D, Wolf 1061C. You're an evil man.
Okay. I thought for sure you were going to give me ones I would not be able to get. I didn't think it was going to be bends through time, because I know the bends through time.
You know all of the bends.
I should have done Jack's through time.
You should have. That would have been nice, because it's a special...
Jack's a pretty insignificant,
It's a special
though.
Ben and Jack episode. It's a BJ episode.
It's a BJ episode.
Like all classics. Anyway, we're going to go to a quick
break.
Most of
the times we hang out, it's a BJ special.
We're going to go to a quick song break. Right now we have the new song from Casey Hill.
And we're going to have some hot sauce.
We're gonna drink some stupid hot sauce.
It's bad idea.
We have a new song by Casey Hill. It's called Like a Woman. And then we have a song by Sissy Heathens, a local band that I went to see with somebody this week.
Oh.
And we'll be back in approximately 7 minutes, feeling much spicier.
Spending all my time away, better to want you in retrograde. And how do you love? How do you love? How do you love? How do you love? What makes you make me feel like thank you.
All right, we are back with Radio Pizza Party, broadcasting from where, Ben?
UBC at the unceded territory of the Musqueam people at and CITR 101.9 FM.
Thanks, buddy. All right,
what you
just heard
fire.
Was Casey Hill and the Sissy Heathens, two separate bands. And me and Ben, after playing that stupid game, just went and had three spoonfuls of hot sauce each.
Mm-hmm.
My mouth's on fire. Ben, how are you doing over there?
I can't really feel my tongue that much.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You're talk like that the whole time. Anyway, so the idea of our show is we pick a topic out of a hat.
Mm.
We discuss it for about an hour, in this case, 45 minutes.
Mm.
And this week we've picked celebrity culture, and we were just talking about Russell Crowe and Rainn Wilson, our two favorite celebrities whose names start with R.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I want to talk about now is
RC and RW.
RC and R-dubs, that's what we call them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're known as around my house because we talk about them so much. so
carry on, Jack.
Carry on. I'll keep talking. I want to talk to you a little bit about paparazzi and being privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Being privacy. Would you be privacy if you could?
Being privacy, if I could privacy, how many privacy would I be?
I'd go with 19.
19 privacy. 19 privacy. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I guess if I was a celebrity, I would dedicate time to the media and all that.
Yeah.
But then like give them okay, here's me, whatever. I'm showing you what I'm up to because you still kind of need that sometimes. But then all the other times when it's all the sneaky paparazzi coming in there and sneaking through your hedges and whatnot and taking photos, I would just mess with them.
How?
Would pay people. I would go out of my time and find people all around the world that looked very like me.
So you'd hire a bunch of
doppelgangers,
Ben Flynn impersonators.
They would always be like on my estate because I'm always, a celebrity at it.
You wouldn't do like it wouldn't be like a one time thing. There'd be a swarm of them like milling around.
Oh yeah, just doing various paparazzi esque things.
That's genius.
Yeah, just make them doing all the scandalous things that like all the paparazzi is taking photos, but then
like
the
doing lines of cornstarch. Yeah, off just the table.
Lines of cornstarch.
That's genius.
Yeah.
And
so then the tabloids would never purchase the photos because they would never be of me. And if it wasn't me, they would never believe it.
Wow. Genius. So what I've heard Marilyn Manson does, I mean, I not that he's very famous anymore, but what he used to do when he was super famous is he'd paint like obscenities on his face in like grease paint so that even if tabloids bought the photo, they can't print it because they can't print this giant photo of the frick word.
Ooh, frick.
On our thing. Oh, we are getting a phone call.
Oh, what?
From a certain someone.
Oh.
Give me a minute. Hello. I'm going to put this boy through. I think I've had bad times on the phones before.
Okay.
Hello? Hey.
Welcome to the show.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Tristan. I was walking around on the in the old Stanley Park.
Oh.
Ah, wow. What are you doing in Stanley Park? Are you lost?
I think we go this way, Steph. Do you think
who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Stephanie. Do you want to say hi, Steph?
Hi, Steph.
Hi. There, that was Steph. We're gonna go see old Father John Misty. The father.
Is this
of,
your father?
John. Yeah, he's the father of me and all the other Misties.
So you're Tristan Misty,
yeah.
Is what you're telling me right now.
Tristy Misty, as they say.
Tristy Misty. Wow, that's pretty cruel of him to name you that. Don't you think?
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those things like Nelson Mandela had a crazy name.
Hey, T-Bone, hey, Tristan.
That's pretty disrespectful to a world leader, you know? Mm-hmm. Are you saying
yeah.
African names are crazy?
Yeah. Ben, what were you trying to say?
Well, is your pet name with, like, Stephanie and back and forth, is it Honey Bear? Because I love you forever, Honey
Ooh,
Bear.
Ooh. Mm. Because that song, Honey Bear. No, it's...
Isn't that the name of the album? But whatever. I mean, I also listen to Father
John.
No,
we call each other... What do we call each other? Idiots?
Idiots. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Idiot.
Yeah, idiot.
Me and Tristan call each other Baby Cakes, starting today.
Yeah, I call Jack
starting
love.
Right now.
Starting right now. Sup, Baby Cakes?
Ooh.
So how's the show been going? I'm off. I'm supposed to be here.
Terrible.
It's been good, man. Our mouths are on fire because I lost the game really badly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my head's sweating.
I'm pretty sure we're just talking on blank.
Oh, yeah,
right now.
You did that hot sauce thing.
Yeah, that was stupid. So, yeah, that was a thing. It was stupid.
We're just now getting to the lineup.
How many people are in the lineup?
I see at least two.
Can you count them?
Is this concert in Stanley Park?
It's in the woods.
Yeah, it is. I hear some rippity-doot-doos on the guitar.
Oh. Rippity-doot-doos.
Rippity-doot-doos.
A few rippity-doot-doos.
Do you hear any doot-doot-loot-doos? Shout out to Nardwar.
And I see someone from my poly class.
Hey, do you know if
I'm
Mr.
I'm on the radio right now. Yeah, I am. Yeah. So what's up?
Hey, do you know if Mr. Misty was camping out there the night before?
Yeah, was he
here,
like hanging out?
I gotta talk to a person.
Is it a fellow cheeser?
Yeah, one sec. We got it. We're getting ID'd.
Oh my god!
This
Can
is
you tell
like
them
a
on the
Gonzo thing here.
How do we hang up on you?
Yeah. How do we do this?
How do you hang up on me?
Yeah. Is there a way? I don't know. I'm not good on the boards.
I got some scissors.
I've been killing it tonight, so I think I'm going to be on the boards next week.
I think you just have to just turn off the microphone that I am on right now.
There he goes. All right. Goodbye, Tristan. Oh, what? Who's there?
Sorry?
What? We just cut you off for about 2 hours.
Oh, a whole 2 hours, eh?
Yeah.
Mm.
No? That's...
Do you have any words to say to us on being on the radio, being as me as the replacement guest, or host, rather, for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm not going to call Ben a guest anymore, because honestly, he's basically an executive producer of this show now.
Yeah.
I was running some ideas past him. I was running past him going, hey, what do you think about doing this?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very hard for me to, like, contribute, because he just runs by, and then I hear it, but then I can't give feedback.
He has to wait for me to do a full lap of the track, and then it's too late.
You guys are just going to... I gotta go.
Okay, bye. That was nice.
I'm getting wristbands. Well, you guys are just talking without me.
Well, talk.
I'm on the radio right now. yeah, I just... So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great to have you on, Tristan.
Great talk.
Hope
there.
To see you next
week. Yeah, great
week.
To have me on my own show. Okay.
Yeah. Later, bud. You have to hang up because right. I don't know how the boards work. See yes, you later.
Okay, I'm going
to
hang up now.
Mic. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was Tristan. Yeah. He has clearly lost his mind talking about going to some show with a Papa James Musty.
Yeah, Papa James Morty.
Papa James Morty, of course, right? Exactly. Why was I thinking? Oh, it's a different guy. Is the Musty one?
Yeah, the Musty guy. He's much more pungent kind
of
guy. You know?
Right. Mm. Yeah, you don't want to go to a show of his in a confined space, such as the when he's camping out. That's when he gets really smelly.
Oh yeah, because camping and fires as well.
He camps on a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so more celebrity stuff. Let's talk celebs.
About celebrities?
About celebrities.
Like, what celebrities in particular are we talking about? Okay, because, like, we've already talked about our favorite celebrities. Then we're talking about kind of, like, the celebrity lifestyle, being how you kind of have to deal with paparazzis and what you would do to deal with paparazzis.
Yeah.
What other aspect of, like, what's your least favorite aspect of celebrity culture, do you think? The idolization of people who perhaps
Daily
do
Mail.
Not enjoy it. The Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail. They are the...
They're the worst.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
Also, this is like the most hack thing to say, but the Kardashians, it's just this weird, like, they exist in this moral, like, gray area. So, speaking of the Daily Mail, today they ran this huge story about how Scott Disick, Kourtney Kardashian's ex-husband, why do I know all this?
Yeah, seriously, man. Like,
is dating this actress, Bella Thorne, who is 18 years old, and he's like 35. Okay. I'm going to find out how old he is, because okay. He's, like, old. He's dating a girl the same age as his niece.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of weird. Okay, wait, you know what I found out today? And I guess he's technically a celebrity because he's a world leader, but you know Emmanuel Macron, the new leader of France?
Yeah, his wife's, like, 30 years older than him,
you know,
like, 25.
You know how they met? Because Emmanuel Macron and the daughter went to school with each other, and then they fell in love when Emmanuel Macron was 15 years old, so they had a secret love affair in Paris. How whack is that? Look it up. Fact.
Look it up, listeners.
Look
I'm not
up,
going to because I just looked up
all
Scott.
Five of you.
I just looked up Scott Disick's age, and he's 34.
34 years old. And he's an 18-year-old.
15 years younger than her. She's 19 now, but still.
Yikes.
That's freaky.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's incredibly weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to do that.
But you kind of propagated the whole thing about how you know a lot about the Kardashians.
But, like...
Without being a fan of the Kardashians,
I know,
you know a lot about the Kardashians.
I also hate how ubiquitous celebrity culture... It's impossible not to know.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you can just kind of stop...
What am I supposed to do when I'm in the checkout line at London Drugs? It's just there.
How often are you in London Drugs?
40 times a day.
How long are you in the checkout line for?
Just 40 hours.
Browsing.
Well, I always pick the longest line up so I can stand and read People magazine.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Without buying it. All
right.
And I keep making sure all my stuff won't scan, so I scratch the barcodes so I can just read an entire issue of People magazine.
You draw out the extra line, see if you maybe chance to get a deal by
yeah.
getting some.
Meanwhile, the lady there who's been checking out my stuff is just going, "Sir,
okay,
sir,
stop,
sir, you have to buy that."
Now I got to manual input the numbers to find out what this is and how much it's worth.
Yeah, classic. Takes forever. Mm. And then I put down the magazine. It's all like dog-eared and.
It's all
messed.
My least favorite ones about those is like, for instance, the tabloids. Is what they do is they, like, whenever I see them when I'm in the London Drugs checkout line, is they always, like, Photoshop the images of the people to look, like, disgusting. And it's like, why? I mean, do people like just looking at celebrities not looking good, you know?
Well, yeah, totally they do. It's one of those, like, celebrities look just like us. Everybody looks terrible in their day-to-day life.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So if you see celebrities looking awful, you feel way
you
better
feel
about
feel
yourself.
Better. Okay.
I remember right before Steve Jobs died, when he was, like, really sick, one of the tabloids got caught photoshopping a section of his body, like, straight down the middle out to make him look thinner.
Jeez.
It was messed up. This is, like, a week before he died. They were like, Steve Jobs looking sick, and his shoulders didn't match up. Because they, like, photoshopped it so badly. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's kind of whack. That's, yeah, I know. See, how is paparazziism still a thing?
You'd think with drones. Can you imagine being a celebrity and there just being 60 drones around you all the time?
I wonder if that's actually going to, like, I wonder if...
Oh, that's so going to be a thing.
Has somebody done it yet? Because the technology's there. Or you've seen those really, telescopic
telephoto lenses.
Yeah, telephoto lenses, exactly, and they like zoom in like 5 kilometers away onto like a ladybug.
Yeah. Well, I listened. There was a radio. Okay, this is way too boring. I'm not going to talk about it. This is a comedy podcast. I'm not going to talk about Radiolab.
Why did the partially blind man fall down the well?
Why?
Because he could not see that well.
Oh boy.
Oh, you guys are missing out on Jack's face right now. It's a look of pure hate and pure pain and equal
rage.
Measures.
My mouth is on fire from the hot sauce, and my brain is on fire from that terrible joke. Okay, what's another joke?
Oh, yeah, tell me
why
a joke.
Why don't you tell me your life story?
My life story?
Yeah, that's a pretty good joke.
No, it already became a joke when I started hanging out with you. That's kind of how it goes. Mm-hmm. So
do
a great time, I guess.
Do you play a quick game?
Yeah, let's play.
Like,
hit me with
the
game.
Let's do Would You Rather. Wait, let me play a quick theme song. This isn't the theme song.
It's a theme song to the theme song.
Would you rather wanna hurt me? Would you rather wanna make me cry? Would you rather wanna burn me? Would you rather wanna see me fly?
All right, that song ends pretty abruptly. That was made by my boy,
T-Bone.
my man, Tristan Wheeler, who couldn't find an instrumental version of Do You Really Wanna Hurt Me?
I feel like that'd be kind of easy to find.
I know.
I don't think he looked, honestly.
No, he made it like 6 months ago when we were doing our demos. But, hey, it still works for now. All right, give me a Would You Rather on the spot right now.
Whoa.
Give me one. All right, I'll give you one first. You have, like, 30 seconds to think of one.
Oh, my God, okay. But then okay. I'm going to think about the answer of you. Okay, whatever. Okay,
okay, think of one now. I'll say it really slowly.
Okay.
Would you rather... Tell me when you got one. You rather live in a world without laws or every day you get punched in the face by Jude Law. I got really tired of that.
Yeah, haven't we already done that one?
Well, not on air.
Oh, okay. So, would you rather live in a world without laws?
Or every day at a random time, you get punched in the face by Jude Law? I'm talking no laws, like Mad Max.
So they have to, okay, so no laws whatsoever, and there's no chance of laws, even new laws in the future being implemented. Because society has a way of doing that.
If you can implement a global, like, society... Before you get murdered by, like, some man with a gun, a very small man with a gigantic gun.
Okay.
Then you can create your own laws.
Okay, but here's a loophole in this whole thing. Because in this world of no laws, Jude Law is within his right to be punching me every day. Maybe multiple times a day. So there
you go. Well, there's also no law preventing you from murdering him. In the scenario where you get punched by him every day, there is.
Okay, so if I get punched by Jude Law every day, at some time per day, I have like my arms behind my back. He appears.
He just
also
appears.
Like a drive by, just punching me in the face.
Yeah,
as
you
I'm
just
on
get
the side
sucker punched by him every day. Yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, and it could be when you're asleep. You could wake up. It's at a random time every day. You could be drinking your coffee, like have it up to your face, and he just socks you in the cheek.
But it's only once per day.
Only once per day, and it's on a random spot in your face. He could punch you directly in the eye.
Well, then I'm gonna go with the world without laws, so I can murder Jude Law for a
don't we all
in the
want
face
to
every single day?
Okay, give me one. Hit me with it.
Okay, I couldn't think of one honestly. You can't think of would you rather's on the spot.
All right, I'll do my version of the Jude Law one.
We're gonna do the same. Okay, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, you think of one. Okay, so I would. I think I'd get punched in the face by Jude Law every day.
Why?
You could sell that story.
Yeah.
You could prove it, too.
Well, you could prove it.
You could be the man that gets punched by Jude Law every day. All you need is one man with a camera and 24 hours. Huh. Imagine it. It would be a sensation. They would be on the front page of People. That would be a celebrity thing. Jude Law punches this man in the face every day. How does he do it? They don't even live in the same city.
Pretty wild.
Does he have a condo in Vancouver that he stays at?
Well, I mean,
how does he just appear?
And whenever you travel, he's also
there. He travels with me. Does he have like a PI following me, or do I have like a LoJack somewhere?
Actually, I think you're onto something here. Jude Law, if you're listening, and we know you are.
Stop
you know
punching
how to
find me. Please.
Okay, my one for you. Would you rather have 100 cakes or 100 snakes?
Can I eat the snakes?
Yeah.
What flavor are they?
Black Mamba.
Like Kobe? Do they taste like Kobe Bryant?
No. They taste like the venomous black mamba snakes where they don't mess around.
Oh, those aren't very meaty. What flavor are the cakes?
Mm, but here's what you have to vanilla ice cream DQ cakes. Shout out to DQ.
Please sponsor us.
Yeah. It could be Radio Blizzard Party.
Radio Ice Cream Party. I'm going to go with... Wait, what shape are the cakes in and how large?
Circular, but they vary. You know, so you can have some ridiculous one. Oh, and remember, this is a one-time thing.
This is. Will they go off?
Yes, and that's the thing. Because you either have 100...
Where do they appear?
Dude, just on you.
On me?
Yeah, same with the snakes. So you
my God.
Yeah,
this is...
okay.
So
okay,
will like, I be... what's the chance it. I'll be crushed to death?
You're not going
to
get crushed to death, but here's the thing. If you have 100 cakes all around you, you have 100 cakes, cool? Or you have 100 snakes, but 100 snakes last a lot longer, and you can do a lot with 100 snakes.
Are they mean to me?
They're not mean to you unless you are mean to them in return.
So
you can't call them names.
Do they appear at a time? Do they appear at a time I can?
Or danger?
They
ropes.
Get insulted?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Moving on. So these danger ropes. Mm. Can I control when they appear, or will they appear at random? Because I feel like I'd panic and make a bunch of incredibly venomous snakes mad at me.
Yeah, just by yelling at them, like, "Oh, you dumb snake with your."
With your
slimy
body. Your ways and no thumbs.
Where are your arms and legs, dude? What's even evolution? Okay, yeah, all at once. And remember, these snakes like vary in size, and even though
they vary in size too.
Yeah, even though the black mamba flavor, like that's the taste of them. But they could be like anacondas. They could be garter snakes. You know?
Oh God!
Any type of
are
snake.
Are there any? Are there any larger than a city bus?
Yeah, anacondas can get pretty big.
I'm gonna go with the snakes.
Yeah, good thinking. That's what
can
I was.
Can I
also
ride them?
Yeah, dude. Cause big ass.
I can make friends with these snakes.
Yeah, dude. We're talking like basilisks.
Do they talk?
Like Harry Potter 2. Yeah, like in.
Dude, I'm gonna take the snakes.
In Parseltongue.
I'm just
totally.
Gonna make friends with a bunch of snakes. How yeah. How do I get to class? A snake.
Yeah, and all you gotta do is go. And they understand. So you have to take a whole bunch of hot sauce before going in. But they also appear when you're sleeping. Like, that's, like, the time that they appear. So you wake up.
Wait, I can only... Where do they go during the day?
Well, no, dude. This is, like, the one, like they appear once in your life.
But
same
they appear
the
when I'm sleeping? So I wake up to a bunch of snakes. I have a very small bedroom.
Yeah, they appear, these 100 snakes, which are going to be blowing out your room. But then now... But now, now these snakes like, feel attached to
they
you.
They come rocketing out the window.
Like
into
one of those
the
can
condo
of worms.
Across the street.
Yes. So, but these snakes feel attached to you because you've kind of like brought them into existence by joining up with this stupid game of ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna go with the snakes. What did you go for?
Yeah. No snakes. Totally.
Snakes. You made it pretty appealing.
Yeah. I mean, dude, who wants 100 cakes? How much cake can you actually eat?
I can probably eat 98, and I don't want two to go off. I feel really bad about wasting food.
How many cakes do you think Russell Crowe can eat? How many snakes do you think Dwight has? Rainn Wilson.
I'd say Rainn Wilson has at least 75 snakes. I think he could do with 25 more. I think Russell Crowe
would you donate 25 to him?
No.
No,
I've never. They're my snakes.
Yeah.
I think Russell Crowe has never eaten cake in his life, nor does he ever want to.
I think so.
I think to suggest it would insult him.
Yeah.
He's a very ornery
man.
He's
very ornery.
All right, I think that's pretty much all the time we have.
Well, that's the show already?
Yeah, man, it was quick. We spent 15 minutes of that interview and 5 more minutes eating hot sauce.
Yeah,
so
get me out of here, okay.
Yeah, all right. Thanks to Ben for coming on. Thanks for Chris Gethard for doing an interview with two random student radio DJs. That was amazing.
You guys are moving up.
We're moving on up. Man, get in quick. Do you want me to autograph a bunch of your snakes?
I brought them all with me, so we.
Yeah.
So
I saw. They ate a dude a minute ago.
I got leashes for them all. It's ridiculous. It's like
they're all tied to your belt and dragged along.
You know those like when the girl's carrying like a lot of balloons and there's like hundreds of them. Yeah, but they're two balloons and they're on the ground slithering around.
Two balloons. All right. Oh yeah, we have to do our naming of the episode.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So,
how do we start this?
Just a random word. I'm gonna start with Nelly.
Tato.
All right, that's been Radio Pizza Party. We will see you guys later. Next up, it's David Love Jones.
Can't believe you tricked me like
Wait,
this.
Let me figure out something first. Ben, talk for a minute.
Okay, so this one time when I was very young, I kicked a wasp's nest at a friend of mine, and the wasps all attacked his face, and it was brutal. I'm sorry.
Tell me more, please. Tell well, me some I mean, more.
That's pretty much when that story ended, and that friendship as well ended at the exact same time. Turns out you can actually kick wasp's nests. They're kind of like kicking like a softball, but softer. Not nearly as hard as a softball, which seems kind of weird that softball is called as it is because it's not a very soft ball.
That's so sad.
Yes, so that was...
Can you please tell me some more stories?
Are you serious? Like,
I'm trying to find auto DJ.
You can't just put me on the spot right now.
But I'm putting you on the spot. Help me.
Okay, does anybody else want to call in? Call 604-822-2487. You can talk about all your snakes and cakes wishes. Dwayne Wheeler, I know you've been wanting to call in for a while. You can call in until Jack figures out the auto DJ. Or whoever else is listening, I'm pretty sure there's all five of you. Who do we got? Like, we got Ollie Bork, we got Chris Atkinson, maybe.
Well, I don't know if they listen live. They're going to be listening eventually.
Oh, yeah, wait. Like, okay, because I only listen live. I don't listen to the podcast. There's no way
I would listen. It would be weird if you listened twice. I wouldn't want you to listen twice.
Wait, yeah. Yeah, no, it'd be really weird. So, for all you listeners out there, all I can count you on my hand. You guys are the guys that that keep Jack and Tristan sane.
That's really sad. Yeah. That's so sad that they keep us sane.
But at the same time, so Chris Gethard was your first guest, but not, well, no, your first celebrity kind of guest, but not your very first one. Tell us a story about that, Jack.
No, I figured out the thing.
Oh, you figured out the thing.
So we're good now.
Okay.
All right. I'll see everybody later if this works. We're good.
See you later.
EITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. What does it take to start your own restaurant? Let's find out with today's guest, Joy Noombukpa. Welcome to another episode of Question Everything, where we connect young leaders with experts in entrepreneurship, publishing, and design. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and today I'm speaking with Joy Noombukpa, who is the founder of Tamarind Restaurant and Cooking School here in Long Prabang. Now, Joy grew up in a village a few hours outside of the city, where he learned to cook with food that he collected from the forest and helped his father farm in the rice fields. So today, Joy is going to be teaching us about Lao culture, farming practices, and he's going to be showing us how to make three traditional Lao dishes. We're going to start with sticky rice and gel paste.
We can make which is the Luang Pumbang stew with the dry meat. Then we can do cook some stir-fry young pumpkin with the kaffir lamb and ginger.
So we've got a full table of ingredients here, and there's so many different colors. I was wondering if you could tell us more about some of the vegetables that we have in front of us.
So we got some sawtooth, coriander. Yeah, and this one in Laos we call pak hat. So this one, we don't farm anything, so mostly we get along the riverbank. And when you eat this one, it tastes a bit more like Sichuan pepper. So it makes your mouth numb and tingling. And we got some mak tua, which is the family of beans. And this one in Laos, we call bao siu liu, which is we get from the forest once a year. And the leaf, we usually eat with the stew and with the barbecue meat. And the leaf, it tastes a bit more like a kaffir lamb, and the green one, it tastes a bit more like a green pepper. And we've got some dill, which is in Asia, in Laos, the dill we use a lot for cooking. Yeah, we use a lot everything. And we got some pak tam ling. It looks like an ivy leaf. Actually, the texture is similar to morning glory or spinach. And we got some young pumpkin and the eggplant, the purple eggplant we use for the stew. And we got some eggplant peas. Yeah, this one has a little bit of bitter flavor. So in Laos, lots of the Lao food, we eat more bitter flavor. About 60% of Lao food, we eat bitter. So they believe that anti-malaria or dengue fever. And also lots of the Lao food, we eat more strong flavor, more salty and more sour. And spicy, Lao food not so spicy, but most people in here, we eat chili. So we've got some cloudy mushroom or monkey ears.
And the texture of the mushroom is quite interesting. This isn't like any mushroom I've seen before. Where are these grown?
They're grown on the in the wood, you know, the rotten wood that along the river. So they go more like a fungus. Yeah. And you can eat raw or cook with it. And over here, we got some, we call maisakan, which is the pepper wood or chili wood. This one you can get mostly in the north of Laos, mostly based in Luang Prabang. So we use for cooking. When we cook it, we eat the outside. Inside, we just chew to get the flavor. So the flavor is quite unusual in texture. But when you put into the stew, doesn't add the flavor. But when you eat itself, it's quite strong flavor.
And then on this plate over here,
because some lemongrass. So lemongrass that we use quite a lot in Lao cooking. Yeah, and we got some garlic and the kaffir lamb and the chili. We got the different kind of chili. We got some small ones, quite hot, and we got some normal green pepper.
And does the spiciness of a chili depend on the color or on the size?
It depends on the size. So for the chili, the firm meat is hotter, but more. So the green chili is a little bit hotter than the red one. So for the chili, the riper it is more sweeter, but not last longer. But the green one, when you cook it again, it has add more flavor than the red one. So usually in Laos, when we cook, we don't use much with the red one because the red one doesn't add much of flavor. But most Laos people, we just use for eating. That if you like something that's spicy.